Jesus, we are so fucked. We need to be invaded by aliens or something. Anything to get everybody on the same side. This trucker rally bullshit. Oh, man. It's just like, you know, they have their points. We have our points. I shouldn't say we. There's no we in any of this. I don't know what. I don't have any solutions to any of this, but I know it's not working. I know this dichotomy that's being created between everybody. It's just like, it's fucking ridiculous. Friends turning on each other. I mean, you could argue that true friends wouldn't do that, but it's just, like, there's no perfect government. Everybody seems to hate Trudeau. But, I mean, somehow he still gets into office. There are so many things in life that I don't understand. So, for now, I'm just going to shake my bedhead, drink coffee, and play music. You're listening to Doug Hell's Kitchen, home of Liquid Fire Radio, home of Indie Rocks.
Everybody next to the paper, everybody to you. Everybody to the one who can't keep the shut in. I'm deliberate to either after June after the rest of you. I'm not forgetting, I'm not forgiving, just any words I hear. It's getting cannibal. Sometimes I fall. Disgusting cannibal. I'm very glad to hear it. You fucking hear it. You fucking hear it. You fucking raver. Don't fret it high. Don't fret it high down there. Don't fret it high. Don't fret it high down there. This getting slow. It's now my fault. It's now
Siddhartha with Big Murray. That is a band I played with a little back in 2008, I believe. I played long enough to get some free music gear from Gibson and Ampeg, and then I quit. Kicking things off, I didn't mention this, but that song you heard at the beginning of the show, are you out there? Are you listening? That was CJ Sleaze and Back From Nowhere. I think it was Back From Nowhere. Close enough. So regardless, yeah, everything's crazy in the world right now. These truckers are just out of control. I kind of admire their tenacity, though. I mean, you know, if you believe in something, stand up for it. I mean, even if, like, nobody agrees with you, like, I don't know. just, I'm impressed that they're standing up for themselves and doing what they feel is right, but I don't know, this just, it's a really weird time to be alive right now.
Daddy?
Yes, son?
What does regret mean?
Well, son, a funny thing about regret is that it's better to regret something you have done than to regret something you haven't done. And by the way, if you see your mom this weekend, would you be sure and tell her,
Satan! Satan! Satan!
Because I know what goes inside. It's all I have, I want.
I just had two in a row. Butthole Surfers with Sweat Loaf. Faith No More, Digging the Grave. It's Monday. It's freezing as fuck out there. And the truckers are still going crazy. Apparently they cleared the Ambassador Bridge in Windsor. I don't know what the fuck they're going to do about Ottawa. It's a completely different atmosphere out there. I've been watching, I really wanted to get out there on my own and see for myself because I keep hearing conflicting stories of what's going on down there. But I've been watching this dude, Ottawa Talks or Ottawa Walks, Ottawa Walks or something like that. And really, it just looks like there's a big party down there. There's no fighting. There's no, I don't know. It's I'm so conflicted about this. I started this whole thing on one side of the fence, but then the more I learn and the more I hear, it's just, I don't know. I'm not going to say I'm switching sides. I'm not sure I'm even on a side, but it's just, there's a lot of room for a lot of opinions, and it shouldn't create dichotomies between adults.
Out of hell, and you're an angel with a haunted heart. If you were smart, you'd run and protect yourself from a demon living in the dark. There's nothing to be gained, 'cause I can never change, and you can never understand my sickness. Chuck, when it hurts like hell, I've never needed anyone so much. There's no one else I love, and I curse myself, 'cause the right thing is to give you up. I'm overcome by shame, 'cause I can never change, and you can never understand my sickness.
My Darkest Days with the powerhouse Save Yourself. Always liked that song, not because it's about someone who's in love or a breakup, but about someone who's broken and pushes their potential partner away because they know they'll screw it up. It's sad when someone doesn't want love, but sadder when someone could admit they're too broken for it. I didn't say that. Magnus Mallow said that, but that's a pretty good description, I think. So coming up, we have more music. We have more. I'm going to play some news clips about what's going on in Ottawa. And we're going to get through this fucking hour if it kills me.
Mamma mia, let me go.
Beelzebub has a
Such a fucked up world we live in. The more I see humanity and what it's like, it's very, very, very disappointing. Right now I'm catching shit from another friend because there's some country singer, some nobody, I don't know, she's on Facebook and she's got this picture and her boobs are hanging out and she's got these fuck me eyes, but she's promoting herself as a country singer. So I guess I commented, oh God, LOL, because to me it's pretty fucking pathetic and desperate. And then my friends give me shit for, oh, well, that was rude. That was, you know what? Then I'm fucking rude. It's just the things that are considered rude. Now, it's not so much things are rude. It's just if you say what everybody else is like too gutless to say, then you're rude. And I know this seems petty. Don't get me wrong. It's all really sad to watch. It's sad to, like, you know, I mean, you see people and it's all about how good things look now and how bright and neatly wrapped everything is. And that's what matters. We don't side with who's right. We side with who's fun. We side with who we have the most to gain from. And, you know, it's just, this is the kind of shit that makes me want to live on a fucking island. I don't like people. I don't like the way people think. I don't like what they do to get themselves ahead. And myself included.
Daring some asshole to take a swing. Got $100 to my name, not sure what it means. Trying to take these bastards for $250,000 despite your mom's protesting. If every city is the same, doom and gloom under a different. Hate the rhythm of our lives these days. Stare into a dead space, shouting in my phone, ducking in my seat, cause someone brought a bag into the movie theater. Everyone shrugs at the same time. Yeah, yeah, we know. You're sick and sad to 30-somethings in a bar. play us some nostalgia songs, 'cause no one really wants to hear about you anymore. I know. If every city is the same, doom and gloom under a different name, maybe we should find our home in one. We argue and assign the blame, no one can help us feel the shame. Said it's the end of days, and you're still pissing in the wind. Don't believe in God, figured he'd be a better planner than this.
Number three, rule number three, make friends with people who want the best for you.
You know, there's kind of rule of thumb for that, which is if you have a friend and you tell them bad news, they're actually sad, and you can tell them. They will listen. You know, they'll listen. They'll take the damn pain, and they won't tell you about some worse thing that happened to them, defensively, say. Or they won't secretly be happy that you got knocked off your pedestal. You know, they'll listen. And then the other thing is if you have a friend and something good happens to you, they're happy. Yeah, well, that's the thing, is you, like, you know, if you're trying to quit smoking and your friends are offering you cigarettes, that's, like, look, there's a joke. You can make a joke about that. And if it's a joke, it's fine. But often those sorts of jokes aren't jokes. It's right, like, they're... I'm smoking, you're quitting, you think you're better than me. It's like, can I get you to smoke? And then I don't have to be, like, embarrassed that I'm not able to do it. Or you're an alcoholic, and I think... Yeah, you know, who cares about the fact that you've screwed up your third marriage? It's like, have another drink, ha ha ha. It's like, no. And the other thing, you know, people don't exactly understand that it's okay morally to choose people that are trying to help you be better and to shy away from people who are going to drag you down. You want the best for the best in them. That's what you want. And that's what you want from people that you surround yourself with. Now, they'll hold you to a high standard if that's the case, right? Because whenever you degenerate in any of the multiple ways that you're likely to degenerate, they're going to, like, whack you on the back of the head and say, you know, clue the hell in. You know, you're demeaning yourself. You're less than you could be. And there's real judgment in that, and it's harsh, you know, but... With friends, it's the same thing. You want friends. They're not friends if they're not these people. You want friends who, when something good happens to you, that's good for you, right? They're happy about that. They're not, like, all bitter and resentful underground and, like, saying horrible things behind your back and telling you how they did something that was better and trying to drag you down. It's like, that's not helpful. And then when something bad happens to you and you go to them and you say, look, this terrible thing happened to me, first of all, they don't try to top it with some like horrible thing that happened to them, because they don't have the patience to listen. And second, they're not secretly gloating about the fact that catastrophe finally befell you. It's like they're actually hurt by it. And that chapter is an injunction. It's like, take a look at the people that are around you. And if they're not on the side of what's good for you, then walk away. Because, well, first of all, that's best for them too. If you put up with that, all you're doing is enabling it. It's like, well, it's okay that you mistreat me in a way that's harmful to me and everyone else. It's like, actually, no, that is not okay. It's not the least bit okay. That doesn't mean you shouldn't try to help someone when they're down. That's a whole different issue.
What if it's your family? So you know how you say, like, walk away, right?
Yeah.
Do you still walk away from your family? Or do you kind of...
You do if it's necessary.
Yeah.
There's lots of different ways of walking away.
Oh, yeah, you know? Like create boundaries.
Well, there's that, kind of for sure. There's that. I mean, you sometimes someone's on an incorrigible path.
Yeah.
Like, there's just nothing you can do. You know, maybe they're aiming down.
Yeah.
They're aiming down hard.
Yeah.
And they're bitter, and everything they do is to produce misery, virtually everything.
Yeah.
And you have to detach yourself from that. It's like, I always think about it from the perspective of a lifeguard. So if you're training to be a lifeguard, one of the things that you're trained to do is to approach someone who's drowning and panicking.
Yeah.
And the way you approach them is you put your foot out between you and them, and you push forward with your hands with your foot out, and you basically tell them, if they're flailing about, you say, look, I'm here to help, but you have to calm down. And then if they cling to you like in panic, you push them away. You think, well, that's pretty damn cruel, because what if they drown? It's like, yeah, what if you both drown? That's like not helpful. You're there to rescue them, they take you down, you're both dead. It's like fail, right? So you say, look, quit panicking, I'll help you out, but I'm not drowning along with you. It's like, well, it's the same with someone in your family. It's like, if they're on a downward path and you've done your best, you know, you've made your efforts, and they're not paying attention, they're not changing. They say, yeah, well, I'll quit doing this. Yeah, I'll quit doing this. They tell you the same story over and over and over. It's a downhill path. You don't trust it. At some point, first of all, you stop offering your words. That's do not cast pearls before swine. A very, very harsh statement, right? But what it means is, if you're offering words of wisdom to someone in the genuine attempt to help, and they treat that with contempt, then shut up. Because you're demeaning your words by throwing them away. You think, well, how do you help someone who's aiming down? Well, sometimes you help them by walking away and saying, look, you're aiming down so hard that I am, despite the fact you're my brother, man, it's like, you know, this is killing me. You're aiming down so hard, I'm not coming along with you. And the reason I'm not is to tell you in no uncertain terms that what you're doing is so terrible that I will even violate our kinship to oppose it. And maybe it'll take them 10 years to wake up to that, you know? And so that can be the case, because, you know, people often have to be hit so many times before they'll learn. You see that especially if someone's addicted or otherwise pursuing a pathway that's like seriously downhill. Here's how you know if someone's your friend. A, you can tell them bad news and they'll listen. They won't tell you why, you know, you're stupid and why that bad thing happened to you and how something worse happened to them once and, you know, derail the whole conversation. You can actually tell them bad news and they'll listen. So that's a good thing. And then this is a weirder thing. You can tell them good news and they'll help you celebrate. And that's a really good way of deciding who you should have around you. Because if you have someone around you, you know, something good happens to you and you're kind of afraid to even admit it because, you know, God, something good happened to you. It's like that, you let that be known and it'll certainly be taken away. So, you know, you come out and you sort of tell someone half-heartedly that something good happened to you. And they give you a whack and then talk about, you know, the great thing that happened to them 3 years ago, or worse, the great thing that happened to someone that they knew 3 years ago. You know, it's like, go away from that person. They're not helpful to you, and they're not helpful to themselves either. And so you want to surround yourself, you got to think about this. You got to surround yourself with people who want the best for the best part of you. You can hang around with weasels and losers that are trying to pull you down to justify the fact that they're spiraling downhill as well. And you know, the upside of that is you don't have to have any responsibility, and you can all whine about how wretched life is, you know, so that's pretty attractive. But I would say it's also a bad medium to long-term plan. And so it's acceptable and desirable to try to surround yourself with people who are facilitating your development. You know, and you might say, well, I've got people around, I know them well, you know, they're not doing that well, and they don't fit into that category. It's like, what's your point? What are you going to do with them exactly? If they'll listen and cooperate with you and move towards a better future, great. If they don't pay any attention and they keep doing the same damn things over and over and they're not going anywhere and it's painful, then maybe the proper thing to do is say, you just have your misery. I'll go off and have my life. And maybe you'll wake up at some point in the future and think that's a better way of being. Because just putting up with it is, well, they call that enabling, right? You put up with that sort of behavior, you're providing tacit consent for it and even tacit approval. It's like, it's a bad idea. You have, I would say, both the right and the responsibility to surround yourself with people who are good for the best part of you.
Charlie, you want a refill?
Yeah.
Refill would be great.
No, I don't know. Hey, Mr. Clark, how you doing?
Finn.
I've been trying to reach you. You're tougher to get than the president.
Well, I've been busy.
Yeah, at least you could do is return my phone calls, though.
Listen, Nikki. We talked about this. And I explained to you that there was the possibility you might have to take some kind of loss.
Yeah. I think I want my money back.
What are you going to do, strong arm me?
You know, I think you got the wrong impression about me. I think in all fairness, I should explain to you exactly what it is that I do. For instance, tomorrow morning I'll get up nice and early, take a walk down over to the bank and walk in and see you. And if you don't have my money for me, I'll crack your fucking head wide open in front of everybody in the bank. And just about the time that I'm coming out of jail, hopefully, you'll be coming out of your coma. And guess what? I'll split your fucking head open again. Because I'm fucking stupid. I don't give a fuck about jail. That's my business. That's what I do. And we know what you do, don't we, Charlie? You fuck people out of money and get away with it.
You can't talk to me
like that. Hey, you fat Irish prick. You put my fucking money to sleep. You go get my money or I'll put your fucking brain to sleep.
Sam.
Never mind. Fucking Sam, this is personal. I'll be there in the morning. You can fucking try me, fatso. You fucking try me. You think you got the point?
What are you doing?
Hello, friends. I wanted to make a video to address some of the controversy that's been going on over the past few days. And first of all, to say thank you to everyone that sent love and support. I truly, truly appreciate it. And it's been very nice to hear from you. I wanted to make this video, first of all, because I think there's a lot of people that have a distorted perception of what I do, maybe based on sound bites or based on headlines of articles that are disparaging. The podcast has been accused of spreading dangerous misinformation, specifically about two episodes, a little bit about some other ones, but specifically about two, one with Dr. Peter McCullough and one with Dr. Robert Malone. Dr. Peter McCullough is a cardiologist, and he is the most published physician in his field in history. Dr. Robert Malone owns 9 patents on the creation of mRNA vaccine technology and is at least partially responsible for the creation of the technology that led to mRNA vaccines. Both these people are very highly credentialed, very intelligent, very accomplished people, and they have an opinion that's different from the mainstream narrative. I wanted to hear what their opinion is. I had them on, and because of that, those episodes in particular, those episodes were labeled as being dangerous. They had dangerous misinformation in them. The problem I have with the term misinformation, especially today, is that many of the things that we thought of as misinformation just a short while ago are now accepted as fact. Like, for instance, 8 months ago, if you said, if you get vaccinated, you can still catch COVID and you can still spread COVID, you would be removed from social media. They would ban you from certain platforms. Now, that's accepted as fact. If you said, I don't think cloth masks work, you would be banned from social media. Now, that's openly and repeatedly stated on CNN. If you said, I think it's possible that COVID-19 came from a lab, you'd be banned from many social media platforms. Now, that's on the cover of Newsweek. All of those theories that at one point in time were banned were openly discussed by those two men that I had on my podcast that have been accused of dangerous misinformation. I do not know if they're right. I don't know because I'm not a doctor. I'm not a scientist. I'm just a person who sits down and talks to people and has conversations with them. Do I get things wrong? Absolutely, I get things wrong. But I try to correct them. Whenever I get something wrong, I try to correct it because I'm interested in telling the truth. I'm interested in finding out what the truth is. And I'm interested in having interesting conversations with people that have differing opinions. I'm not interested in only talking to people that have one perspective. That's one of the reasons why I had Sanjay Gupta on, Dr. Sanjay Gupta, who I respect very much, and I really enjoyed our conversation together. He has a different opinion than those men do. I had Dr. Michael Osterholm on at the very beginning of the pandemic. He is on President Biden's COVID-19 advisory board. I had Dr. Peter Hotez on, who is a vaccine expert. I'm interested in finding out what is correct and I'm also finding out how people come to these conclusions and what the facts are. Now, because of this controversy, and I'm sure there's a lot of other things going on behind the scenes with these controversies, but Neil Young has removed his music from the platform of Spotify, and Joni Mitchell, and apparently some other people want to as well. I'm very sorry that they feel that way. I most certainly don't want that. I'm a Neil Young fan. I've always been a Neil Young fan. I'll tell you a story at the end of this about that. One of the things that Spotify wants to do that I agree with is that at the beginning of these controversial podcasts, like specifically ones about COVID, is to put a disclaimer and say that you should speak with your physician and that these people and the opinions that they express are contrary to the opinions of the consensus of experts, which I think is very important. Sure, have that on there. I'm very happy with that. Also, I think if there's anything that I've done that I could do better is have more experts with differing opinions right after I have the controversial ones. I would most certainly be open to doing that. And I would like to talk to some people that have differing opinions on those podcasts in the future. We'll see. I do all the scheduling myself, and I don't always get it right. These podcasts are very strange because they're just conversations. And oftentimes I have no idea what I'm going to talk about until I sit down and talk to people. And that's why some of my ideas are not that prepared or fleshed out, because I'm literally having them in real time. But I do my best, and they're just conversations. And I think that's also the appeal of the show. It's one of the things that makes it interesting. I want to thank Spotify for being so supportive during this time. And I'm very sorry that this is happening to them and that they're taking so much heat from it. And so now the Neil Young story. When first of all, I'm not mad at Neil Young. I'm a huge Neil Young fan. I've always been a Neil Young fan. When I was 19, I was a security guard at a place called Great Woods in Mansfield, Massachusetts. It's an outdoor concert amphitheater, and Neil Young was playing there. And that was the last day I worked there. I quit during the Neil Young concert. The job is kind of crazy because there was a lot of times those fights broke out and stuff. And I think I probably got like $15 an hour, and I was not about to get beat up for $15 an hour. So I would bring a hoodie with me whenever I worked. So in case the shit hit the fan and it got too crazy, I would just put my hoodie on and leave and cover my security outfit, my security shirt. So one day during a Neil Young concert, there's the amphitheater, the way it's set up is there's a covered area outside that has seats, and then there's a lawn area behind it. And the lawn area during the Neil Young concert, they got a little rowdy. It was cold out, and they started bonfires. So they had these raging fires on the lawn, and we were supposed to go and put these fires out and stop them. So we tried for a little while, but then brawl started breaking out, and it started getting crazy. And I was like, fuck this. So I put my hoodie on, I zipped it up, and I left, and I drove home. And as I was driving home, I was singing, "Keep on rocking in a free world." That was my last day on the job. I don't even think I collected my last check. No hard feelings towards Neil Young, and definitely no hard feelings towards Joni Mitchell. I love her too. I love her music. "Chucky's in Love" is a great song. I don't know what else I can do differently other than maybe try harder to get people with differing opinions on right afterwards. I do think that that's important, and do my best to make sure that I've researched these topics, the controversial ones in particular, and have all the pertinent facts at hand before I discuss them. Again, I'm not trying to promote misinformation. I'm not trying to be controversial. I've never tried to do anything with this podcast other than just talk to people and have interesting conversations. I didn't plan it. I can't believe it's as successful as it is. It was never really an idea that I had. The podcast started off as just fucking around with my friends and having fun and talking. And then when it became popular, other people wanted to come on, and I was like, oh, it'd be cool to talk to that person. Oh, he's interesting. Oh, she's got a cool book out. And then, boom, it's become what it is today, which is like some out-of-control juggernaut that I barely have control of. So my pledge to you is that I will do my best to try to balance out these more controversial viewpoints with other people's perspectives so we can maybe find a better point of view. I don't want to just show the contrary opinion to what the narrative is. I want to show all kinds of opinions so that we can all figure out what's going on, and not just about COVID, about everything, about health, about fitness, wellness, the state of the world itself. It's a strange responsibility to have this many viewers and listeners. It's very strange, and it's nothing that I prepared for, and it's nothing that I ever anticipated. I am going to do my best in the future to balance things out. I'm going to do my best, but my point of doing this is always just to create interesting conversations and ones that I hope people enjoy. So if I pissed you off, I'm sorry. And if you enjoy the podcast, thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you to Spotify. Thank you all the supporters, and even thank you to the haters, because it's good to have some haters. It makes you reassess what you're doing and put things into perspective. And I think that's good too. All right. Much love to you all. Thank you to everyone. I'm going to do my best.
Joe Rogan, Spotify, continues. Now, it should be over. It should be over because Joe has cleared things up. Many people are calling it an apology. Apology might be the correct word. Let's back up just to recent memory. Neil Young came out, was upset with Joe for putting out misinformation as it pertains to the coronavirus. Wants his music taken off, or wants Spotify, moreover, to take Joe down. We both can't be here. I won't share a platform with this guy. Spotify did the right thing. And that's not really a tough call. It's truly not. I don't know that Joe is bigger than Neil Young. I've heard many people say that, and that's why Spotify did that. I don't know about that. I don't believe in 20 years people are going to be listening to the Joe Rogan Experience from today. 20 years from now, they will still be listening to Neil Young. So I don't know that I agree with those numbers. But personally, and in all fairness, and I'm on Spotify, guys. You can get me on Spotify. You can get Neil Young on Spotify. You did not get Spotify for me. You did not get Spotify for Neil Young. Do you see the difference? Rogan is the only hired talent in that position, and many people came over for him. It would not have been right to have taken their money and then take that away from them. I don't know that that was Spotify's decision. I'm updating you in the last week and bringing conclusion to it, because that's the way they went. They pulled Neil Young. They left Joe. Joe thought it was important to come out, clarify. Many call it an apology. For some reason, I'm resistant of the word apology, but Joe wanted to clear this. And he did say the word sorry. So apology is appropriate. But I felt like it was an explanation, because Joe said, and I'm going to change the words just a little bit. I'm going to change the words just a little bit based on interpretation, but real close to verbatim, Joe said, I never brought you fake news. I don't bring you any news. My show is not a news show. I have a conversation. That's my show. I try to learn things. I let people say their side. I share my side. They say what they've heard. I say what I heard. We go back and forth. The time runs out. We put it out to the audience. It's a conversation. Joe used the word in this apology / explanation 3 times. He used the word conversation, but I want you guys to hear it 300 times, because it was the entire point Joe was trying to make. And Joe made it very effectively, which is, I'm having a conversation. I am not determining anything. I am not an expert in the space. Whatever opinions and or conclusions I come to, I don't even share. I just have a conversation. That's important that you take that away, because if you're still mad at Joe Rogan, that's the part you missed. It was a grand slam. In the world of PR and kind of straightening something out, fixing misgivings, this was a grand slam by Joe. This was not a pre-read statement. This was Joe on his own cell phone speaking openly and freely. A little bit surprised with some of the pushback. And I think it hurt Joe's feelings just a little bit, because he personally is a Neil Young fan. And he wanted Neil and everyone to know, I hear what you're saying, but please hear what I'm saying, which is why I am repeating it for you, because I do think a lot of people missed it. Joe said the word conversation. He said it 3 times and he got up and walked away. I wish he would have stayed on it to let people know what he means by that. What Joe is trying to say is my show is not to get you information. My show is not to encourage you in either or any direction. I'm just having a conversation. I'm letting you hear my natural and first thoughts and responses. I'm letting you hear the natural and responses of the agenda of my guest. But I'm not a news show. I'm a conversation. It's a big deal that you understand what Joe's saying. Now, great. I thought Joe hit a grand slam. I thought it was perfect. The problem that Joe has, Joe's a very smart guy, but I don't know. I don't know if Joe knows this has nothing to do with the pandemic. If Joe had never said the word coronavirus, or he swore in a stack of Bibles to never say it moving forward, Joe's going to be in the same spot. One has nothing to do with the other. The pushback on Joe Rogan and the current pandemic are not related. They're pretending it's related. Joe's numbers are massive. Joe can reach 11 million people in one day. To put that in perspective for you, CNN on a good and average night is 1.4 million. All of the cable shows combined come in at 9.8 million. All of them combined are 1.2 million lower than Joe Rogan. That's what Joe's problem is. Joe has power. It did turn political. One side has claimed him as their own. They're wrong. He's not with them. And one side is fighting against Joe. They're wrong too. Joe's not against, he's not with these guys and he's not for those. That's Joe's business, right? That's Joe's. But people that know Joe personally were looking around going, you guys are wrong and you guys are wrong. It's one of those things. But either way, he said in the primary, he was supporting Bernie Sanders. He said in the general, he would vote for Trump over Biden. I'm quoting Joe here. That's the problem. It was never COVID-19. It was never the pandemic. That was the problem. And that drew lines in the sand. They've been coming for him ever since. I hope that Joe knows that. I suspect that Joe knows that. But I also want you guys to know that. Because they are picking on one of our own. And one of our own has come out. He didn't ask for help, but he told his side. Just, I like these guys. I like my audience. I like to satisfy them. Just having a conversation. To me, that's reasonable.